Public Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. Prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. Over the course of 9 years, after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, a victim of Don J. Bennett, the hoodoo investment advisor, she was found guilty on all 17 counts as charged. I am a voice for investment clients now, and a voice for good investment advisors. July 2015, The Washington Post, WAPO, reported federal court judge Ellen Hovell was paralyzed, able to move one toe only. Legal Times published 2014. Judge Ellen Hovell fell in Boston, not returning to work in D.C. The District of Columbia. Judge Hovell's cases were shared around the court to other sitting judges, Legal Times readers were told. And then there is the rest of the story. Judges, 2018, I crossed paths with a rape victim of the D.C. Superior Court, former chief judge. Timelines tell tales. June 18th, 2014, Judge Hovell's timeline in the court record tells Hovell's cases were assigned to other judges except my matter before Judge Ellen Hovell. That same day, that Judge Ellen Hovell was paralyzed thousands of miles away from her District of Columbia court, able to move one toe only. That same day, June 18th, 2014, Judge Ellen Hovell's court record reflects entered in error. Document 7. Response re petition to confirm arbitration award filed by Western International Securities. Attachments number 1. Exhibits A through E. Jordan Harry, attorney. Modified on June 18th, 2014, and in parentheses, IF, comma. Modified on June 19th, 2014, in parentheses, TD, and again on June 18th, 2014, document 8, reply re-petition to confirm arbitration award filed by Western International Securities. Attachments number 1, exhibits A through E. Jordan Harry, attorney. Modified on June 19th, 2014. In parentheses, TD. Stating modified. Text per chambers. On June 23rd, TD. Wrapping your head around this, Judge Ellen Hovell just fell downstairs outside of the District of Columbia in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, securities regulator William Galvin's territory, Massachusetts. Judge Hovell, even if Hovell wasn't paralyzed with one toe working, cannot write orders in Massachusetts. Hovell is only approved to be a judge in the District of Columbia. The D.C. court record shows on those days, former District of Columbia Court Chief Judge Richard Warren Roberts, accused of rape of a state witness 35-plus years ago, was being given, allegedly, paralyzed one toe moving only Judge Ellen Hovell's cases. 2016, 10th Circuit reviews documents stating during this June 2014 time period that D.C. Court Chief Judge Richard Warren Roberts was disabled with limbic encephalitis, the disability reason given to former President Obama, 2016, forcing Roberts to retire at full pay for life, passing also on being former President Obama's SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States nominee. 44's SCOTUS nominee was never Garland Merrick. As you would say when I was working in England, in princely terms, Harry and Will's princely terms, D.C. Court Chief Judge Richard Warren Roberts was the heir, Garland Merrick was the spare. Small world that it is. The same time Garland Merrick was being dog and pony showed around Congress as a potential SCOTUS justice candidate, another judge, a dark horse, so to speak, a Judge Paula Zini, was being touted for the federal bench in Greenbelt, Maryland Federal Court, which is where we, Judge Zini and I, met. More correctly, cross paths in the hearing and trial of USA versus Don Bennett, Bradley Maskow, and DJB Holdings. Small world that it is. Judge Zini had worked on the Freddie Gray matter, one of the cases prompting cry out for criminal justice reform. My word bears weight. One day, we will see Judge Paula Zini on the Supreme Court bench of Justice for Life. USA versus Don Bennett changed her. The judge, I saw that moment. I was in court that day. That day, Judge Zini learned that not every criminal wants to change. One minute, one moment etched in Judge Zini's face, I saw it change. Things in the courtroom were never the same since. Judge Zini saw. We will talk more. We will. That day is a day of history. Her story. Judicial disability rules are clear. 3 months of disability, a judge is replaced off the bench. Yet, 2+ years of limbic encephalitis disability time, according to the 10th Circuit, D.C. Court Chief Judge Richard Warren Roberts was kept on the bench until retirement eligibility time, close to 44's SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States Justice, Dog and Pony Show nominee parade. Orders being written by a paralyzed judge out of state, able to move one toe only. You know what they say, when it walks like a duck, talks like a duck. It's an appearance of a court judicial counsel conspiracy needing investigation. Two judges timelined into my FINRA matter that became a federal court matter. But of course a judicial complaint was filed, but of course. 2014, Judge Garland Merrick said there was no basis for a judicial disability complaint against Judge Ellen Hovell. July 2015, WAPO, the Washington Post, owned by Amazon's Bezos, said different in greater detail. Well, go fight a judicial counsel, let alone a judicial counsel that got caught in a cover-up cookie jar of a judge known in the D.C. court as the Wall Street Judge, Ellen Huvel. Yep, you already know my comeback. I am a whistleblower, and I do what whistleblowers do to assure what was happening to me was not happening to others, documented and still in process with an unexpected twist. Now, Justice Kavanaugh, we will talk. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, has been playing fast and footloose with terms broker and investment advisor for decades, going back before the NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers, became FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. June 2009, a few months before Madoff turned himself into law enforcement, months after the Commonwealth of Massachusetts began the Commonwealth's investigation into COMAD. It was as written to me by FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority General Counsel Terry Riker, as plain as day, emailed via the wires. December 19th, 2014, FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority General Counsel Terry Riker, emailed me. You evidently misunderstand our role. We administer arbitration claims that bring people to our forum if they fall under our rules for eligibility. You, a customer represented by counsel, came to FINRA and filed a claim in our arbitration forum. We only check to see whether the parties named in the claim hold or held a securities registration, which Mr. Sangamon does and has since 1984. We do not and cannot look beyond your claim into your thought process when you hired Mr. Sangamon, and whether you thought you were hiring a broker or an IA. We took the claim that you filed because it falls into the scope of claims eligible for arbitration under our rules. More correctly, my lawyer filed the claim. I did what my lawyer told me investment client victims do. It was not until after the bad faith FINRA arbitration decision against me that I learned investment clients and investment advisors do not go to FINRA dispute resolution for financial fraud or otherwise. It was not until after the bad faith FINRA arbitration decision against me that I learned investment clients and investment advisors must sign special submission agreements to submit to FINRA. I did not. And Mr. Sangamon was an investment advisor, not a securities broker. Securities brokers, according to Congress, are firms only. Look, I have figured out a massive, decades-long crime, not because I'm smart, but because I have to work harder to understand details, to clear my name, to recoup losses, and to put bad people behind bars to stop these crimes from happening against others. But as an illustrator, as a photographer, my mind remembers images, pieces, patterns, snapshots. And I do know how to count. The FINRA arbitration award submission form I signed, not once, but a second time too, had 5 numbered points on it. The special submission agreement me and my investment advisor should have signed has 10 points numbered. This is not rocket science. This is a whole lot of things. A legal breach of fiduciary duty, legislative failure, cover-up, international fraud and deception. But on the simple blush of things, fingers and toes, this is counting. This is playing a child's game. Matchy, matchy. Things were not matching. Things have not matched for a long time. The Securities and Exchange Commission litigation release in this crime, which eventually came to and under oversight of the U.S. attorneys and the FBI, did not name the securities broker-dealer firms Western International Securities and J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp. The SEC litigation release in this crime did not name the investment advisory firms Western International Securities and J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp. Nor did the SEC litigation release name others in the offices complicit in these crimes that went on, that go on for decades, nor would the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. I figured out why, in the matter of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Don Bennett, Western International Securities, and J.P. Morgan Clearing, in the course of what began in 2010 and led to Maryland 8:17-0472-PX, had D.C. Federal Court Judge Garland Merrick not covered up Judge Ellen Hovell's out of office, out of state paralysis, not covered up Chief Judge Richard Warren Roberts' mental health disability, we would not be talking about Maryland 8:17-0472-PX victims. We would not. They would not have become victims of Bennett's then newest Ponzi scam, the FBI windowed between 2015 to 2017. I tried. I tried to save more victims. I tried to stop Bennett. Judges, legislators, regulators failed. I was right. I was never in bad faith. I was just in an evil forum. Judge Hovell and other judges are not in bed with, but shall we say dating? Dipping into the lawyer pond, so to speak, wink, wink. I saw the why in the papers released by the Maryland FBI and Maryland U.S. Attorney's Office, then led by embattled Rod Rosenstein, replaced by Robert Hoer. Papers relying on information the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, provided to the Maryland FBI and Maryland U.S. Attorney's Office, mirroring information the SEC published online in SEC versus Don J. Bennett, Bradley Maskow, and DJB Holdings, publishing date August 28, 2017, 3 days after Don Bennett was extradited from New Mexico to Maryland, appearing before a federal court judge in Greenbelt, Maryland. Bennett, it seems, had hoped to claim residency in New Mexico. Bennett had her reasons, it seems. We will talk. Now, did they? The proof is in the pudding. The salesperson selling product of the unrelated, similar-named securities broker-dealer firm conned the investment client victim again, taking the investment client victim away from the court where even FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority's website, says investment clients go to court, not FINRA. Signing a post, and after the dispute agreement to go into FINRA for dispute resolution, not a pre-dispute agreement as the investment advisor, as FINRA, as defense counsel, con investment client victims into believing they did. No. No, 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 no. More so, I told this to the judge. I filed this in papers to the court of the judge who was, as I now know, paralyzed out of state with her inmates' staff running the insane asylum as the expression goes. Someone was signing judges' orders, albeit e-signing judges' orders. With e-signing, as the expression goes, one never knows, do one, who signed, that is. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and the former NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers, is, cannot, never, ever will be a neutral forum. FINRA and the NASD know that. And it is amazing what people put into emails, knowing emails can be and are shared. June 26, 2014, FINRA General Counsel Terry Riker emailed me, "The FINRA rule you cite is completely inapplicable to your award in which arbitrators found in favor of the respondents and awarded costs and attorney's fees to the respondents. The rule you cite only applies into arbitration awards that award damages to a claimant against a firm or registered representative." Let me read the last line again. "The rule you cite only applies into arbitration awards that award damages to a claimant against a firm or registered representative. On that alone, FINRA is not now nor ever was a neutral forum." Lest we forget, I never signed a special submission agreement FINRA says I should have. Lest we forget, defense counsel for the Ponzi scammer and collaborators state in their document exchange, "I had no contract with Western or Don Bennett. I had a contract with J.P. Morgan Clearing. But as I told the judge, albeit limited to exchange pleadings, in that, as we now know, Judge Huvel was paralyzed, out of state, unable to preside, I wrote, I filed, I was not suing J.P. Morgan Clearing." D.C. Judge Garland Merrick knew that at the time Merrick wrote his order denying my judicial disability request on Huvel. We will talk. Same email, FINRA General Counsel Terry Riker wrote, "The motion to confirm arbitration award in pending federal court is governed by the Federal Arbitration Act, not by FINRA rule. And the FINRA rule you cite has no bearing on the merits of the motion to confirm the award." Let me read the line again. "The rule you cite only applies into arbitration awards that award damages to a claimant against a firm or registered representative." Now, let's walk over to SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, newbie Justice Kavanaugh's virgin opinion in Shine versus Archer, a unanimous, albeit ironic, decision in light of Justice Kavanaugh's entanglement in this matter of me, Carrie Devra, Western International Securities, Bennett Group Financial Services, and Don Bennett, with an appearance by J.P. Morgan Clearing, albeit in the form of a contract binding me to sue J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp. No mention of Western International Securities. No mention of Bennett Group Financial Services or Don Bennett in my clearing agreement I was given to sign by Bennett Group Financial Services, Michelle Morris, and Kathleen Proust that day, 11-12-2009. The day I became a Bennett Group Financial Services client, or so I thought. Henry Schein, Incorporated, A. All versus Archer and White Sales, Incorporated, certiorari to the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, number 17-1272, argued October 29th, 2018, decided January 8th, 2019, states a judge orders arbitration. A judge orders arbitration. A judge orders arbitration, not FINRA. Bennett victims and countless investment client victims like me, like the 2015 to 2017 43 investment client victims of Don Bennett, are intentionally taken by FINRA away from the courts where FINRA's website says victims go. No judge ordered, take ye forth away from court into a dispute arbitration forum the FINRA website says is not for investment client arbitration. The Supreme Court syllabus says respondent Archer and White Sales Incorporated sued petitioner Henry Schein Incorporated, alleging violations of federal and state antitrust law and seeking both money, damages, and injunctive relief. The relevant contract between the parties provided for arbitration of any dispute arising under or related to the agreement, except for, among other things, actions seeking injunctive relief. The Supreme Court syllabus uses the words respondent Archer alleged violations of federal and state antitrust law, exactly what I have been alleging with FINRA. The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the former NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers, and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, have been doing for decades, uncaught, unpunished, uncensored, violating federal and state antitrust law, aided by a not-for-profit 501c6 dues-collecting business league of lawyers specializing. They claim specializing in securities, aided by the not-for-profit 501c6 dues-collecting business league of bar associations that lawyers must belong to in order to do law for pay in that city, state, court, but do nothing law enforcement-wise when a lawyer behaving badly is reported. To be continued. Be good. Be back. Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com, www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com. Please, LinkedIn. Everyone knows at least one other person a victim of Wall Street crime. We can lift this matter together into politics forefront where it must be for the next election cycle if change is to come. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of off your time invested and your dime earned. So share our podcast, share your papers. I want to see them. The arbitrators, the lawyers, the agreement you signed. You have nothing to fear. Wall Street has everything to fear. Until next time.